This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. Carrie Kasem, my co-host, is here with me. Carrie, I want to wish you the best of holidays, and I hope you had a great Christmas.
It's been great so far. How about you?
Wonderful. I had an amazing Christmas because I celebrated Hudson's birthday.
Yes.
Went to Disneyland.
And Hanukkah was good for you.
Well, we focus on Hudson. He turned 6 years old and birthday December 26th, day after Christmas. So we spent some great time together in Disneyland and Legoland and doing all this fun stuff. I'm exhausted. Can you tell my voice? I'm a little exhausted.
I think you and I both, my allergies have kicked in. I haven't had allergies like this forever. Wow. What's going on?
I don't know what it is, but I think this time of the year does take its toll. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I had a wonderful Christmas, spent with family, like always. Usually we're always at my mom's house, so it was great.
And I loved meeting your mom last week. She came to the studio.
Was the family on the show.
The family show.
The family show.
The holiday family show. So that was really nice. And now we're looking to 2019. Wow.
I know. It goes by faster and faster every year.
I think just because we're getting older and we have less and less patience.
It's that or less and less time.
Less and less time. I mean, that's what's going on now. Yeah. It's so hard to put your priorities together and to really focus on what you want to spend time with. And I think we want to do a show today that we can really help people in 2019. What are you looking down at your phone? I'm trying to talk to you. I love seeing your eyes.
I'm looking at your Tinders. We have a wonderful guest coming up and I'm looking at all of these wonderful things he's done. I like this guy, so I cannot wait.
You should have done that before the show.
Oh, I have.
I have one last show to get into a fight with you. Why didn't you do that before? I'm looking at you and I want to focus on what we can do to help people in 2019, make things that go wrong, make them right, focus on being better people, focus on staying out of legal trouble. This is a law show, of course, and we have some of the greatest lawyers of all time here, but today we're going to focus on what we can do to improve who we are and to maybe market ourselves better. You're a celebrity, so you know you market yourself very well, and I know you're happy to talk to our guest today. You know, for those people who are listening who are not celebrities, maybe some of these principles that are alive and well in today's world will translate to make people, you know, just more aware of who they are and how they can be better people. As well, people like to hear about how celebrities market themselves.
I think anybody who's on social media wants to market them that way, or anybody who wants to have a bigger presence. I mean, the information in this book and what your Tinder has to say is going to help anybody in that realm, whether you're a celebrity or not. And I don't necessarily consider myself a celebrity. I think my last name, people know it, and I've been on the airways for 21 years. But when you're talking big celebrity, I mean, this is going to help people from at the top down to, you know, me or below.
Well, I want to take the pressure off of you, Carrie, and the pressure off of me. Let's put it all on Jitender Sadev, because that's his role. He can handle the pressure. He needs to motivate people to live better lives and understand who these celebrities are and why they are celebrities. And maybe others can market themselves, maybe get more involved in social media, or maybe get less involved. People have different thoughts on that. He has been described by Variety as the best in the business, the world's leading celebrity expert, branding expert, New York Times best-selling author, and a Financial Times columnist. He is a trailblazer in pop culture insights, one of the most prominent figures writers and celebrity news and sought after advisors to top international companies. He was born and raised in England, and we'll hear his accent, a beautiful accent. Graduated from Oxford and Harvard Business School. So he's got some education behind what a lot of people think is a area of fluff, which I'm sure he's going to say no. And of course, his first book came out, The Kim Kardashian Principle, Why Shameless Sells and How to Do It Right, released by St. Martin's Press, has gotten wonderful reviews. I'm going to read some of the reviews just so you'll understand who we're dealing with here. You know, it has been such a wonderful received book, more than a marketing Bible. Jatinder's KKP is a movement. That's from Kelly Mullen of Unilever. Everything that a PR or spin doctor has traditionally advised to do the opposite, the Times. Sadev is right on point, director. The most buzzed about business book of the year by Forbes. With celebrity branding expert Jatinder Sadev's powerful manifesto, you'll be your most authentic, impulsive, selfie-savvy version of you in no time. OK Magazine. Well, that's enough of an introduction. I think Jatinder just wants to go leave and say, OK, thank you very much. That I have nothing more to say. Jatinder, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much indeed for having me. Wow, what an introduction.
He likes to give the good ones, the long good ones.
Yeah, well, you know, it builds it up. And, you know, you've done so much in this area. And we have to ask you, growing up in England, I don't think you had any idea this is what you were going to do with your life.
I think that's fair enough. Well, at least that was until I was 11. I went to L.A. I remember my father took me to L.A. when I was 11, and I was completely just bitten by the Hollywood bug, really. I had such an amazing time on holiday. I remember we went to Universal Studios, Disneyland, and I came back from Los Angeles, and I put a poster of the skyline above my bed, which stayed with me all the way until my early 20s when I actually left for the city. So it was truly an obsession since then.
Was your family a traditional English family, or did they kind of encourage you to get into the celebrity Hollywood thing?
Not at all, really. I was really raised in a traditional, buttoned-up British culture. I went to a very traditional all-boys private school in the UK, and really, it wasn't even an option, or I didn't think to even think about doing something like that. So it was really it was off the cards, so to speak.
And then again, things change. You've certainly made something of yourself in a very different and unique area. How did you get from Britain? Obviously, you went to Harvard. I went to Boston to attend B school at Harvard. How did that happen?
Well, I'd always been quite ambidextrous at school in terms of liking both the sciences and arts. I did my my first graduate degree in the UK, and I studied sciences. And then I studied history at Oxford. And then after that, I wanted to study business, as you do after you've studied medical science and history. So
right.
I decided to go to business school at the Harvard Business School. And that was sort of my ticket to the U.S. And in all fairness, I remember when I decided that I wanted to study in the U.S., I wanted to do another grad school degree in the U.S., it was with the mind of actually moving to the United States, and in particular moving to Los Angeles. So there is some truth I write about it in the book, that I actually went to Harvard to get to Hollywood. It was a bit of a long process, but that was essentially the intention. So what I did was, when I moved out to the U.S. and I graduated from Harvard Business School, I was hired by Sir Martin Sorrell, who came, I remember, to business school, and he heads up WPP. He's a big figure within the world of marketing communications. And I was hired into Ogilvy & Mather, which is a large advertising agency company and marketing communications company. So it was there that I started understanding about brands and working with some of the largest brands like American Express, Dove, you know, Coke, those sorts of really iconic brands. And at the same time, it was also there that I heard people talking about celebrities and celebrities being brands, but nobody was really treating them like they were brands. We weren't really researching their perception. We weren't really understanding them as brands. We were just paying lip service to the fact that they were brands. So when I moved out to Los Angeles, that was when I realized that actually, you know, there's an opportunity to actually understand celebrities as brands truly and actually to research them. And, you know, until then we were told that Beyonce was the most influential celebrity in the world, but who said that? What were the elements of influence and how we could actually measure them was something that hadn't been done before. So I started doing that.
But Jatinda, when you were at Ogilvy and Mather, I wouldn't think that you would be geared toward what you're doing now. I worked at Leo Burnett, one of the competitors, I would say, you know, one of the big advertising agencies. And we were so focused on trying to kind of suck up to our clients. And I worked for Kraft and Wilson Sporting Goods and Seagram's. And, you know, I didn't have that. I didn't feel that kind of freedom that apparently you had and that you discovered at Ogilvy and Mather.
Yeah, well, firstly, I've never been good at sucking up to anyone. So I didn't. Fortunately, I wasn't in a role at Ogilvy that I needed to do that. When you're in the role of strategic planning as opposed to account management, that's very much where you determine the big ideas for campaigns and you go and speak to consumers and understand what really makes people tick. So I was very much in that division where we were looking at what was the sort of, you know, what we called the big idea, what was the idea around the campaign and where that come from. And that very much came from consumer research. So, yeah.
A question about writing Kim Kardashian, the Kim Kardashian principle. When you were writing this book, were you worried that people might not take you seriously?
Well, I wasn't worried about it. I mean, it certainly did cross my mind. But, you know, I felt like my work, well, firstly, it was something that I wanted to do. So more than anything else, I sort of felt that that drove me and that gave me the satisfaction and the motivation that it required. I also thought it was a very thought-provoking title because putting Kim Kardashian and principle together wasn't something that typically came in one sentence.
No, I think they call that the oxymoron, and I've heard some people just call it a moron.
And then I remember at one stage, you know, towards the end of the book, I had my publisher saying to me, can we just call it the Kim Kardashian effect? And I was like, well, the tongue-in-cheek aspect of that is taken out, so the answer to that would be no. So I wanted to keep with the Kim Kardashian principle. And then also, I think that my work has always been about bringing together sort of, you know, two very disparate worlds, like highbrow and lowbrow and science and art and fact and fiction and intelligence and superficial. And so, you know, it was sort of, it all kind of worked, I thought.
And then the Huffington Post says one of the most influential books of the year. It's so funny to hear you talk about it in these kind of flippant terms. And then we're reading from the Huffington Post, no less, one of the most influential books of the year. We want to talk about the Kim Kardashian principle, why Shameless sells and how to do it right. Because a lot of people need to learn as they enter 2019 how to do it right. We need to take a quick break. We're talking to Jatinder Sedev and we're going to talk to him about Kim Kardashian, of all people, right here on Gervie's Law and Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I thought I had a sinus headache for a few days, but I had a massive brain aneurysm, hemorrhage of the brain, and a stroke, and I was on my deathbed. I was on a respirator in a coma for 35 days. And 3 months later, I came home in a wheelchair. I had double vision. I had to learn to walk again, to speak again. One in one is two, write the alphabet. You know, if I went out and did a little something, I'd come home, I'd be in bed. Now, I'm up by like 5:30 in the morning, and I go to the gym. I do shopping. I cook. I have energy all day. I mean, I feel great. Overall, my whole outlook, just feeling, my mental aspect, everything is better.
For a limited time, use discount code DEAL, and we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751, or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DEAL.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 5959 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 5959.
I'm a real person, real voice, and a real face. Even though you can't see it because, you know, radio invisibility. You know what else is super duper real? Geico local offices. A Geico local agent could tailor fit a policy to you, which could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All because Geico local agents keep it real, with real savings and real service. Really.
And if you're looking for more ways to save, your local Geico agent could help with your homeowners, condo, and renter's insurance too. Stop by or give them a call today.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah.
You know, Carrie.
I love this song.
I know you love the song. I was kind of hoping for some, you know, kind of New Year's music or something.
New Year's.
Like Old Lang Syne.
No.
Something.
No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work.
Wayman's just too hip to. I'm like from the old school, you know. I'm not as savvy with social media as you are. You know, I'm not into the selfies like you are.
Yeah.
You are truly.
I just got into it too. I held off for years and years, about a year and a half, two years ago.
You must have read Jatinder Sadev's book to understand. I'm just going to say a few things and just think about this. Self-obsession is a must-have. No posturing, no apologies, and no shying away from the spotlight. It's about focusing on what you believe and what you want to create, regardless of the blowback. Hate is the status symbol. If you're not being hated, you're not in the game. Now, these are the new rules of 2019. This is how you're going to become popular. This is how you're going to have celebrity. What are you talking about in this book, Jatinder Sadev?
I'm talking about having the freedom to focus on what you believe and what you want to create, regardless of the blowback. And that's really it in a nutshell. You know, I think that we are living in a very different world with social media. You know, people have the right to have an opinion on who you are and what you do, and it's all okay. You know, there are new rules now.
I have to say, though, being in radio for 21 years, Howard Stern once said, people who love me listen 2 hours. People who hate me listen four. So you know, it's like whether you have people who love you or hate you, it's on the opposite ends of the spectrum. It's intense. You know, you don't want somebody going, oh yeah, they're cool. All right. You really want that effect. And I think that that does transfer over into social media stars as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. You definitely want to touch people. You want to strike a nerve with people. That really is the challenge today, because we have so many brands, so many people trying to vie for everyone's attention. And, you know, there are millions of brands that are created every minute, every second now. As a matter of fact, the statistic is just sort of crazy. And to actually get somebody to pay attention, let alone have an opinion on your brand, is definitely a form of success.
Did Kim Kardashian, what was her say about this? Did you talk to her? Did you ask her if you could use the name?
Or did she write the book for you?
Yeah, right. He's a ghostwriter.
She did write the book for me in a way. She's the protagonist of the book.
Right, right.
You know, the book is not about her, but it's certainly about saying, look, you know, we've all got to embrace our inner Kim Kardashian. But to your question, Kerry, no, I did not. I didn't tell her I was writing the book, and I didn't want to do that, because it really needed to come from an objective place. But I was very grateful that she social media the book after it came out, and it seemed that she was very happy with it.
Yeah.
But I just feel bad. I should have actually sent her a copy after it came out.
We kind of don't blame you.
The acknowledgement. So.
have you, Jatinder, had any contact with her since, you know, because we know she social mediated it, and obviously she has a really good perspective on it, but did she reach out?
No, she did not reach out, no, and I didn't share it either.
So,
you know, typically when I talk about celebrities, you know, I come from a really objective perspective, and I think that's really where the strength of the insight comes from. So I like to keep it that way. My work is all, you know, objective, and it's not biased, and it's not sponsored by any celebrity or whatever it may be.
And I'm just reading a couple of people's comments about it. I just finished the book, and I think it's amazing. The author makes it very easy to understand the science to becoming famous. I didn't even know that there was a recipe in the first place. It's a quick read, and the author is hilarious. I personally think the author does a great job. He doesn't know your name, this guy, but he keeps calling you the author. I personally think the author does a great job of being relatable and practical. Is that something that you really thought about when you were writing this book, that you would be relatable and practical, and you just became hilarious just from what you wrote?
Well, it was actually, yeah. I was very deliberate in what sort of work I wanted to create, and it was very much inspired by the type of book that I thought I would read. You know, I was always drawn towards books like Freakonomics, crossover, big idea books that anyone who was intelligent wanted to pick up and read and could access. So, that was sort of the book that I wanted to read, and that was how I wanted to write it. So what's really interesting is that I have received, you know, when the book initially came out, I literally received thousands and thousands of emails. It was kind of quite overwhelming and moving too, because you write a book because you want to touch people and empower people and get people to think differently. And that was my objective more than anything else. And it was my perspective. It was my viewpoint. I wanted to provoke thought. I didn't necessarily want to have people agree with me, but regardless, right, you know, connecting with people in that way was really powerful. But yeah, I think that the way that what I wrote, how I wrote it, the manner in which I wrote it was deliberate and was something, you know, it was something that I wanted to do from the get-go. Yeah.
You know, if you wanted people to just love you and agree with you, I think it would be contrary to the principles in the book when you talk about being hated. If you're not hated, you're not in the game. You know, I'm reading, I would hope people didn't hate you, but, it is a little bit of a dichotomy, being loved and being hated. This other person wrote, having closed the last chapter of the Kim Kardashian principle, I admit that I have a clearer understanding of how to use social media to my advantage, specifically if I'm looking for attention or a strong presence in the media. I can create ideas that will achieve this because of what I read in this book. Carrie is looking at me. She wants to hear. How do you sum up how...
I love how you look at me and then...
how to use social media to her advantage.
Yeah, please tell me.
With regards to hate in particular or just generally?
Generally.
I think this is Alan asking the question for himself.
I'm asking the question for myself. But I like how Jatinder is now thinking about hate. He's got this hate thing and saying, he's just going to...
Because you're bringing it up. So yeah. You're bringing it up more than once. And I do think it's...
Listen, you know, in the world of Trump that we live in right now, this is something that is on people's mind, of course.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there are six new rules to succeed within the world today. And I have the acronym in the book called SELFIE, which sums up those rules. So it's surprise, expose, lead, flaws, intimate, and execute. And those rules essentially, you know, empower people in a nutshell to be fearless, you know, to be unapologetic, to understand that everyone's going to have an opinion and that's okay, to not want to silence other people's opinions or control what other people are going to say, and to really be driven by, you know, their own needs and their own desires and their own need to express themselves and do what they want to do and be the people that they want to be. And that's very much it in a nutshell. You know, it was something that I saw when I moved out from a very buttoned-up British school culture, a very, very conservative British culture, to Hollywood. The Kim Kardashian principle was as much about a personal transformation that I underwent than it was about any other sort of personal image branding rules to undergo. You know, I saw a very different world in Hollywood where you didn't need a particular accent. You didn't need to graduate from Oxford and Harvard. There were other ways to be successful. There were other types of people who in my world weren't even on the radar, who were actually being valued. And it really was a paradigm shift for me. And as a result, that was sort of the genesis, really, of me writing the book and understanding these new rules and saying that, look, you know, there are different ways to an endpoint today. And we are better opening our minds to different people, different ways of living, different ways of expressing ourselves, and also different forms of talent. I mean, modern fame today has redefined talent. So we don't have to learn how to play the cello or the violin or go to drama school anymore to be talented. We can be incredibly talented playing computer games or taking selfies or even belfies. Do you know what a belfie is?
No.
A selfie
I don't.
From behind. Oh.
A what? From behind? A belfie.
It's true. There's so many just butt Instagrams.
Wow.
So a belfie is a selfie from behind. And, you know, and today, you know, YouTube stars, digital influencers, Instagram stars, they are, you know, making enormous amounts of money. They are commercially successful. We saw most recently that youngster, you know, the number one
YouTuber.
Right, on the Forbes list, earning $20+ million
wow.
a year.
That's crazy.
You know, this is the new form of talent.
But you're tender.
That is coming up regardless of whether you like it or not. So, it sort of stemmed out of that.
But you have to tell us, because you mention about talent and you talk about, you know, it's a different world out there. You bring up YouTube, and I've watched a lot of these, and maybe I'm not in the target audience, but you got to wonder. A lot of these YouTube stars have no talent. And in fact, my niece works with YouTube in England. She lives in London, and she works for a company that produce a number of YouTube shows. And these people are making a lot of money, and I just can't kind of face her and tell her the shows suck. What's up? What's up with that?
Well, I mean, I don't know that particular show in question. It might well suck, but you know, YouTubers and digital influencers are enormously talented. You know, they are a new breed of celebrity that I spoke about in 2014 in Variety magazine. That study went viral when I said that people like PewDiePie, KSI, Smosh, people you'd never even heard before, were more influential amongst millennials and Generation Z than the likes of Taylor Swift, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston. And at that stage, people didn't even know who PewDiePie was, let alone be told that. I mean, who could be more influential than Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston in Hollywood, right?
Right.
And then what we found was that then over the preceding 4 years, they sort of, you know, they blew up. They really are talented. They are talent. They are business people, they are entrepreneurs, they are writers, they are directors, they are media planners. They really are all in one. They are not looking for people to tell them what to say or tell them how to dress or, you know, how to look. They are coming up with their own images. They are taking things that they are truly passionate about. They understand the medium that they have to create the videos for. And they're, you know, they're writing their own content, they're filming it, they're putting themselves as they're starring in it, you know, and they're creating these commercially viable businesses and in being incredibly good role models for younger audiences by saying, look, you can take your passion, you can take the things that you absolutely love and turn them into something commercially viable. And that is a really positive and inspiring message for a lot of young kids out there who don't want to work to live. They want to live to work.
And who do you think, I love that too. You live to work. Cause I that's how I feel. I got to a point in my life where that's how I feel, which took me a while, but it's wonderful. Who do you think's coming up now? YouTube, Instagram, somebody to watch, somebody you really like, that's going to hit it big in the next year or two.
The next Kim Kardashian.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I think there are lots of stars that are still have yet to come up. You know, Joe Suggs just did Strictly Come Dancing in the UK, which is a Dancing with the Stars equivalent. He is still, you know, he's still got a long way to go. There's Zoella, who's doing really well too, Bethany Mota. You know, these are all stars that still can, you know, have a rising star, and they're going to do really well. So,
All right. We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, Jatinder, I want to ask you about a couple things that you said. Basically, where you draw the line, and you didn't say that. I'm asking you this. Where do you draw the line? When you talked about these people, the up-and-comers that are really the focal point of your book and have taken advantage of the techniques to elevate them, they don't want to be told what to say. They don't want to be told what to do. You talk about the hate principle being something that, you know, if you're not hated, you're not in the game. When we bring that into the political sphere with President Trump, where do you draw the line and where does it become a negative rather than a positive, as we see in the Kim Kardashian principle? So we want to talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. The president may accept a lot less money than previously requested for his wall at the southern border. Sources told NBC News that President Trump is willing to accept $2.5 billion, or about half of what he originally requested. Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said even though they've come down off their $5 billion offer, Nancy Pelosi likely won't act until after she becomes House Speaker. It's officially week two of the partial government shutdown as the stalemate continues between Congress and President Trump over his border wall. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is paying a visit to U.S. Customs and Border Patrol stations along the border with Mexico. The trip has stops in El Paso, Texas, and Yuma, Arizona, to check on medical screenings and conditions for migrants. DHS has come under heavy criticism for the recent deaths of two detained migrant children. KABC SoCal weather, mostly clear tonight with lows in the 40s. More news coming up in 30 minutes, continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
O'Reilly. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we promise you'll get better parts, better prices every day. Our stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices, and our friendly, well-trained professionals are standing by to help. So stop in and see how five simple words drive everything we do. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The average smoker tries to quit up to 30 times, and many are looking for an alternative. Juul was designed by smokers, for smokers, to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you are one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
Wait a second.
I ain't saying she a gold digger.
Aw, yeah.
She ain't messing with no broke.
Is this the old Lang Syne?
Yes, this is. It's Lawrence the new version.
New version.
It's the new version.
We're wishing everyone a happy and healthy new year for 2019. Hope you have a great year. And if you read the book, The Kim Kardashian Principle, Why Shameless Sells and How to Do It Right, you'll probably have a better year than you would have had if you didn't read the book. So Jatinder Sadev, would you agree with that?
That sounds compelling.
It's compelling. Yeah, I know it's compelling. So before the break, I was asking you about where you draw the line because, you know, you've made a good argument for success when you don't care about what you say or what people think or what you do or you know, if you're liked or hated. But at some point, doesn't that lead to your demise? And we're not sure how the whole Trump thing will end up, but we know that at least 50% of the people in this country are not supporters, while there may be 50% who are. But when will these principles not work out well for you?
Well, I don't think that there is an option today not to be anything other than yourself and authentic. You know, I think that we have seen too many people say all the right things, wear all the right clothes, have all the right hairstyles, and then be caught behind closed doors doing all the quote-unquote wrong things. So I think the challenge today is that we're up against a very savvy audience. We're also up against a younger audience that is the truly digital native generation that has been exposed to so many things, has access to so much more information than they have before. So really the opportunity for anyone building their own brand or, you know, creating their own followings is to look at, okay, how do I not just make fans, how do I create fanatics? And fanatics now are where they're at for 2019. It's going to be, how do I get that group of people who are truly bonded to what I say, even more than my regular fan? And those people will see through to the intention of what you're saying. They'll have a strong belief in who you are, what you stand for, and they'll see through to the intention of what you're saying. In terms of drawing the line, I think that for me personally, I mean, I don't think it is, I don't think I'm in a position to tell people where they can draw the line. I think that is up to them. But for me personally, I feel like the law is where you can draw the line. You know, so let's say, for example, we look at Kim Kardashian's feed and she tries to have a conversation about gun control. But instead, all we see is a slew of hate, saying that you're this, you're that, name-calling, whatever it may be. I mean, it's common on pretty much all of her posts. you know, to me, Kim Kardashian can express herself in whichever way she wants to, and the person can respond in whichever way they want to. But if somebody is breaking the law, in the book I talk about Jared Fogle and Subway, yeah, and we remember that, right?
Right.
We remember how he was exposed as being a pedophile. To me, that is entirely unacceptable. But if somebody says, you know what, actually, I want to make my life playing video games. I don't believe that person should be vilified, demonized, degraded, titled lazy, narcissistic, stupid, entitled, whatever we feel free to call a lot of the younger generations, or label them untalented because they're not conforming to older school norms. I don't personally feel that that is legitimate or justified.
I knew we were going to have that legal tie-in somewhere, and it took about 40 minutes until we got there.
There you go, Alan. There you go.
I completely agree. As a lawyer, I really think that was a brilliant thing you just said, Jatinder, that it's about the law, and you can push things, but once you break the law, and whether that's true of the President of the United States or otherwise, and of course there's evidence that needs to be gathered one way or another, but until that happens, I don't think someone should be vilified. And you know,
but they are. And how do you stop that? They are. It doesn't, whether you think it's right or wrong, it does happen. You know, there have been YouTube stars that make, they say something, one sentence, and they're careers over. They lose followers, they lose sponsors, they lose everything. It's maybe just an opinion. You might be hated for it, but you're also going to have these repercussions that maybe shouldn't be, but they do occur. How do you stick reason into people's heads, or do you?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, oh, sorry, that was that for me.
Yes,
yeah,
for you or Alan, either way.
I need the expert to answer that one.
Please get, no, please do, Alan, because you'd probably be a better response than I would on that. How does one person make somebody? I mean, you know, as human beings, most of the decisions we make are emotional, right? So over sort of like the studies show that 95-98% of the decisions we make in a day are emotional. We're not naturally rational creatures. But I do think that there's an awareness today, and you know, that the tricky thing about being the moral police is that morals are so different for so many different people, and now some people are getting passes, other people are not. It's all becoming quite muddled and gray. So, you know, I think there needs to be, I mean, from my standpoint, there needs to, the rationale will come from the fact that people need to understand that there needs to be room to allow everyone to live their lives in their way.
So I have to ask this question because I've wondered, I've been doing this show with Carrie for 5 years now. We've had so many lawyers on the show. We have Gloria Allred on the show quite a bit. We have Lisa Bloom. A lot of the high profile attorneys, Alan Dershowitz, F. Lee Bailey, some of the people that have been in the news. And what you write about and you say that there's no shame in chief executives seeking the spotlight. These leaders are as close to their publicists as they are to the colleagues in the boardroom, or in our case, in the courtroom. How do people balance? I mean, I spend my life trying cases in court. I don't have time to talk to a publicist. I don't have time to pursue all these things. Yet Gloria Allred, you know, and we love her, but she's always in the media.
You don't have time to be a star?
I have no time to be a star. What should I do?
Look, I think that today, I think that let's say like sort of 10 years ago, I think even 10 years ago, you know, no showboating was allowed for CEOs. And I think when you had the odd one or two Richard Branson step out or whatever, you know, he was up for being ridiculed or whatever.
Elon Musk.
Mark Cuban.
You know, and now I think that fame has become the holy grail. You know, when you speak to younger generations, they don't want to be doctors, they don't want to be lawyers, they want to be famous first and foremost.
But they can be so famous doctors, famous lawyers. You see that too, right?
And the other thing is, fame doesn't necessarily pay the bills. I mean, we look at it, you know, I would love to spend my time going on all these shows and talking and pontificating and being this big talking head, but I have a family to support. I got to go and win cases in court.
But that's why you do the radio show. I mean, he's hired to do a radio show. He does a radio show here. You get so many clients because people know who you are.
No, I have I have more fun arguing with you on the
radio
than arguing with a lawyer in court.
You still get cases because people know who you are. You win awards because people know who you are, Alan.
I want to turn to Jitender. Help me out here.
I can't
afford to pay your hourly rate, so I need to get you to tell me on the air here.
Absolutely. I mean, Kerry, as Kerry said, that, you know, this is obviously your platform and this is, you know, this is your element of fame. But you don't need to, I mean, you know, not everyone needs to do that. I mean, if they don't have time, if they don't want to create a public image, if they don't want to break through in that way, then that's fine too. But what I would say is that more and more, I think that there has been a democratization of fame when it comes to these new breed of celebrity that's coming up that are making themselves. They're not waiting for a studio, you know, studio executive or a modeling agency or anyone to select them on their hair color or their eye color. They are defining themselves and they are making themselves famous. I think there's something very empowering about that. And I think that has then infiltrated all different elements of our society now. I think that people are recognizing that, you know, anyone can become famous, and many, many more people do want to become famous, but it's your choice. If you don't have time, if you don't want to do it, that's fair enough.
Now, you're a marketing professor at USC. Are you teaching these principles, and do you find that your students are open to what you're saying, and maybe you're kind of motivating them to not put their head into the books and become CEOs, but to become reality stars?
So I was teaching at USC, and I thought that I taught the second year master's class there in strategic relations and public communications, and they were very responsive to the ideas. I think that, you know, I think that the youth today, particularly millennials, are understanding that we live in a new world and there are new rules. So absolutely, yeah, people are really responsive to it. And people find it freeing and exciting. You know, it's another avenue that is open, that has been open to them. So yeah, and it should be fun. You know, part of building your image and building your brand should be fun and exciting, and building your own following, building your platform, your level of influence.
And you could get huge contracts like Colin Kaepernick from Nike. If you don't play your sport, you don't have to get your head bashed in, and you can just make millions being a spokesperson after kneeling at the national anthem.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that was a brave move from Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, whether he plays for the NFL again or not is a whole different story. But he's certainly been reinjected into the culture with the Nike Colin Kaepernick campaign. Yeah.
And you're not, and I know you've been on record saying that Nike had the balls to do it, so to speak. And
yeah.
And that we shouldn't hold it against them.
Right. And so, whether I agree with it or not, I thought that was brilliant. I mean, they took a stand, like you said, and they were not afraid to be hated, which I can't believe they did it. I really can't, but good for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was brilliant. I mean, they applied the rules of the Kim Kardashian principle, and, you know, they were, you know, unapologetic. Yeah. They didn't, they looked to build fanatics rather, versus them fans. People were burning their products, but they didn't lose any customers. They fired those customers. They were like, look, we don't want you.
Right.
And that was a real brave move for a large brand. You know, when I wrote the book, a lot of people were like, okay, well, as a mid-sized company or as a small company, you know, an entrepreneurial company, you know, one can do this. But how can you do it? How can you apply the Kim Kardashian principle as a large, iconic or beacon brand, as a large organization? And then Nike came along, applied it, and they didn't only apply it, but they actually also took one of the rules, which is sacrifice everything to believe in something, and that's verbatim.
Yeah.
And they use that as in, you know, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything as a headline for the campaign.
Now, we have
so
to
that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. We just
there you
learned.
Go. And that's all.
And no one even had to pay for it. If
that's
you do,
all.
But the nice thing is, if you do pay for the book, The Kim Kardashian Principle, the money is being donated to combat modern slavery. And Jatinder, we want to talk about that after the break. We have one more segment. Would it be okay if you told us about your vision and your dream and why you're donating profits from the sales of the book to combat modern slavery?
I would love to talk about that, yes.
All right, so we're going to talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I thought I had a sinus headache for a few days, but I had a massive brain aneurysm, hemorrhage of the brain, and a stroke, and I was on my deathbed. I was on a respirator in a coma for 35 days, and 3 months later, I came home in a wheelchair. I had double vision. I had to learn to walk again, to speak again. One and one is two, write the alphabet. You know, if I went out and did a little something, I'd come home, I'd be in bed. Now, I'm up by like 5:30 in the morning, and I go to the gym. I do shopping. I cook. I have energy all day. I mean, I feel great. Overall, my whole outlook, just feeling, my mental aspect, everything is better.
For a limited time, use discount code DEAL, and we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751, or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DEAL.
Let's do it.
Okay.
OKLLL.
On this week's Uncensored OKLA podcast,
Steve, Jillian, and me, Dorothy, try and get E.T.'s Nichelle Durner a date.
And I reveal that journalists love chaos. The OKLA podcast, free uncensored, and unmissable.
Download and subscribe for free on iTunes and KABC.com.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, I waited all hour for that. Now I feel like I'm ringing in the new year, 2019. We want to watch the ball drop right here on Gervie's Law.
Let's do it. We'll just sit in the studio.
It's dropping.
Until
it's,
it drops.
The ball dropped a long time ago.
Ooh.
Now the other shoe is going to fall. We are talking to Jitender Sadev, and the book is The Kim Kardashian Principle, Why Shameless Sells and How to Do It Right. Before the break, Jitender, we're talking about the profits from this book going to end modern slavery and to combat child trafficking. Tell us about that.
You know, when I started developing my platform and I realized that people were listening to me and I was having an influence on a global level, I really wanted to start using my own fame for good. And I didn't quite know how to do that. And then one day I was approached by a dear friend who introduced me to Kathleen Bonnier, who is the UN ambassador to Hungary, the United Nations ambassador to Hungary. And I started getting more involved in goal 8.7. So the United Nations has a range of goals that they want to meet, sustainable goals by 2030. And 8.7 is the goal to end human trafficking. Human trafficking has become a multi-billion dollar enterprise. The trafficking of women and children is the world's fastest growing crime. And there are about 40, there are anywhere between 40 and 70 million slaves in the world today, including hundreds of thousands in the USA and in the UK.
And there are more slaves today than ever before in history.
Than ever before. I mean, how crazy is that?
I know.
And in all fairness, I mean, I didn't really know, you know, much about this. And I didn't even know that. You know, I didn't know that there were slaves in the UK and in the US. And the more I started getting involved in it, the more I started getting invited to the UN headquarters and meeting, you know, these phenomenal people and survivors of human trafficking. I remember most recently I met Carla at the United Nations, who, as awful as it sounds, had been raped over 43,200 times.
Wow.
Yeah, four years, every day, 7 days a week, 30 rapes a day.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
And what an inspiring, amazing young woman, number one. And I remember what she said. She said that, you know what, it doesn't hurt me, the actions of the bad people. What hurts me is the indifference of the good people.
Right.
And I remember she said that to me in at the UN, and it really stuck with me. And I was like, wow, you know, that was enough. And it was sort of like, wow, you know, I have to help with this. So, you know, I've been immersed in it for a few years now, and I've been working very closely with the UN and, you know, using my platform to raise awareness of the issue. There are slaves in the world. They're being sex trafficked, they're being organ trafficked, and they are being forced labor, you know, to do forced labor and to look out for it, you know, or to contribute in whichever way, to spread the word, even to raise awareness of that fact alone is, you know, is helpful.
I agree. And I have to say, I do this with human trafficking of the elderly and what is going on with our system, a bit different than you. But one of my most favorite quotes is from Albert Einstein. And he said, "The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything." And that's very much like, you know, the quote you just, it's a phenomenal quote, and it's very true. People need to start standing up. And a lot of people don't realize about slavery. Right in Orange County, we have some of the worst human trafficking issues there. I work with the Airline Ambassadors International. Also, my friend Marisol Nichols has a foundation for a slavery free world. And I've been to these, you know, the talks that they have to inform the public and let people know what's going on. And these statistics are staggering, and you don't, you can't, they're staggering. I mean, Backpage just got, did Backpage just get put up again? I heard something about that. Or is it down for good? Do you know?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't hear them being put back up again.
Okay, good. Good. I thought I may have heard that. But yeah, people are finally waking up.
Yeah.
But they need to be doing more.
It's important that we have people like Jatinder, who is really putting his money where his mouth is.
Yes.
His mouth out there and with the money in the mouth. Really, it's important. And we really take our hat off to you for doing this with the book, The Kim Kardashian Principle, Why Shameless Sells and How to Do It Right. How can people get the book?
They can get the book anywhere. They can get it at a Barnes & Noble. They can get it from Amazon. The book is available anywhere. Absolutely.
And what about to get in contact with you, if anyone wants to contact you? How do they find you?
The best way to get in contact with me is through my website at jatendra.com. So that's JEETENDR.com. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, even.
Right.
Alan?
Apparently, you are putting your money mouth where your money is. That's what you got.
Where your mouth is.
Or where your selfie is, even.
Oh, exactly. All over all over social media. And you spell your last name SEHDEV. Jatinder, I want to thank you so much. It's been a really wonderful hour speaking with you, and wish you all the best in 2019. Come back and join us when you're in town. I know you're not here, but when you're in town, come and sit in. We'd love to have you here in studio.
I would love to do that. Thank you, Alan and Terry.
Have a good one. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And that's going to do it for this week. I got to wish everyone a Happy New Year. What about you, Carrie?
Wishing you a Happy New Year,
and
Alan.
And you.
Yes.
We hope that 2019 will just be a phenomenal year for everyone. So have a great New Year celebration. Don't drink too much. Don't drink and drive. Or you can drink, but just don't drive.
There you go.
And we'll see you next year.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.